This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Leah Todd. She is a reporter with the Solutions Journalism Network. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
And this is an interesting project which KSFR and six other newsrooms in New Mexico and Southern Colorado are taking part in. It's a pilot project of the Solutions Journalism Network to bring forward investigative stories that are not just like, oh my God, what a horrible problem, but like, here are some ways that people are addressing problems.
Yes. Solutions journalism to us means taking all of the investigative skills that we have as reporters and that we use every day to investigate the problems, corruptions, and failures, and applying those same skills to emerging responses to address those problems and failures. So it's taking a very critical eye to what's being tried to address all of these entrenched social problems, in addition to just writing about the problems themselves, which can have, as you said earlier, a depressing effect on people.
Right.
To read about what's not going well in their community every day. And there's a lot of research behind the sense of news fatigue that people get, and they actually turn off the radio in some cases, or they turn the TV channel, or they stop reading the newspaper, you know.
Or they go to the sports section.
Or they go to the sports section, or they read the letters to the editor to make fun of, you know, their neighbors, or to see who's saying what this week.
So what are some examples of stories that come out of a solutions journalism perspective?
Gosh, we just are launching later this month a worldwide database of thousands of solutions-oriented stories. So you can stay tuned.
And
for
this
that.
Is not stories that you guys have been part of.
Correct.
But stories that are, because I was looking back at my, when we became part of this here at KSFR, I was looking back at stories that we've done on the Radio Cafe, and a lot of them turn out to kind of be de facto solution stories.
Totally. So one thing that we say all the time is that solutions journalism is not new.
Yeah.
This is part of what we think good journalists have always been doing and should continue doing. So in a way, we think it's a bit unnecessary to even have something that's called solutions journalism, you know, in quotation marks. And we think it should just become a part of every journalist practice and our day-to-day lives. So some examples of solutions-oriented stories would be looking at a school district in Seattle, for example, that has managed to totally eliminate suspensions and expulsions among all of its students in favor of using restorative justice, which brings the perpetrators and the victims of any sort of violent act or any type of offense together in a room with their peers to repair the harm that's been done to that relationship and to, at the end of the day, keep kids in school instead of kicking them out and having an adverse effect long-term on their academic performance. So a solutions-oriented story would look at the problem and say, here's the rate at which all these different kinds of students are being suspended and expelled. And here's what the research says about why that's problematic for them in the future. Here's what this one school and this one place has done about that, because they recognized the problem and didn't want to keep going down that path. And here's the people behind the idea, here's how the idea started, and here's what these people did in very granular detail, step by step, how they got to where they are today, and here's what the students have to say about that and their experience.
And so the idea is not only to make people less depressed who are reading the paper or whatever, but also to provide an inspiration for maybe somebody in another school district who might read that article.
The idea, right, the main idea behind any solution story is not to write about a particular program, a particular hero, or a particular person that did something right, but to write about an idea. And ideally, that idea would have some replicability and would be able to, would be instructive in some way to other communities that are facing the same problem. Right.
Do we know if that's happened? Like, for in that example?
Yeah. So this in the Seattle example, the Seattle Times reporter looked at other school districts who were doing the same thing. And there happened to be a school in Seattle, you know, her hometown, where this was also happening. So she wrote about that, too. But in Seattle, the Seattle School Board, weeks, maybe months right after the story came out, put an immediate moratorium on any suspension or expulsion for the youngest students, for elementary students. Not, you know, we can't prove that it was directly as a result of her story, but it's safe to say the Seattle School Board took a closer look at this practice after this story came out and decided to do something about it.
Very interesting. One of the things that I think is interesting about this solutions journalism approach is that you do need to, for example, if there's a big problem that's unexposed, you kind of have to have the exposé first. Is that...
Exactly. So there's actually a very elegant flow chart that describes, in our view, when is and when isn't a good time for a solutions-oriented story. And there are more or less two scenarios where it's not yet time, we think, for a solution story, perhaps. And this obviously differs newsroom to newsroom and differs depending on the story. But in general, if there's insufficient awareness about a problem, time to turn to some more traditional investigative journalism first, right? If there's insufficient outrage about a problem, if there's not the sense among the community that, hey, we know what this problem is, but we don't care to do anything about it. If there's not sufficient outrage, then that too might be a time for a different kind of story than a solution story. But in cases where there is sufficient and plenty of awareness of a particular problem and plenty of outrage over that problem, but just a lack of any productive dialogue about what to do about that, if conversation about education or about drug abuse in a community has just devolved into a shouting match between sides, that is an instance where we think that a solution story can be particularly helpful and can serve to elevate the conversation in a way that just another exposé might not.
And so if you have a town where there is a kind of, let's say, a problem in the education system, the local paper might write a solution story about a different town that has found a way of solving it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Another town with maybe similar demographics. You know, there's no... I don't know that we could say there are two towns that are exactly the same that we can learn from. But a similar town that bears some resemblance, you know, to my own community that has figured something out about how to respond to graduation rates or how to improve, you know, math test scores or how to cut truancy among students in really rural areas. Some other school or school district that has managed to move the needle on any one of those issues, any part of that bigger education problem, that might serve as a case study or an example of how something that has worked elsewhere that hasn't been tried here in my own town might work. So yeah, one of the ways that we think about solution stories, and we fund sometimes reporters to go into other communities, do a very detailed story about what happened in that other town in response to education or violence or public health, and bring that story back into their own local newspaper and just introduce that idea into the dialogue, into the local conversation. We've also done apples to apples comparisons where we look at my own city and a city close by to me, you know, and compare the two approaches. If they've differed in some way and have somehow seen various results that can be instructive in some way to my own community.
So here in New Mexico, there are 7 newsrooms that are a part of this. 5 of them are print journalism outlets and 2 of them are, well, radio and TV, KNME and KSFR. What kinds of stories so far? I mean, the pilot project just began, but what kind of stories are you thinking are coming down the pipeline?
Lots. We have stories about public land management and stories about healthy forest thinning, for sustainable forest thinning to mitigate wildfire risk and improve water quality.
Which we just talked about during the first segment.
So stories hopefully about education systems in very rural places that are quite small and plagued by pretty intractable poverty in some cases. Stories about substance abuse and what communities are doing to respond to that. And I think stories also about what kinds of jobs might carry New Mexico into the future, and especially rural New Mexico. What jobs will it take? What kinds of jobs could be developed here that pay people a living wage and that pay people more than just during ski season,
right,
or more than just during the summer? So I think it'll be a mix of economic stories, cultural stories, and environmental stories.
Leah Todd is a reporter with the Solutions Journalism Network. You can find out more at solutionsjournalism.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.